Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that. Now, before we get started, does anyone not have fear in the Christian in the modern America? Does anyone not have it? It's up. Oh, he's got them in his hand there. All right, everyone have one? Doc, you don't have one? I got a special one for you. It only cost you $5. All right. I got some more up here. Yes. Yeah. Give West Total one. Oh, okay. And I got a few more up here. Anyone not have one? All right. Let's begin by noting some prayer requests that we might have. Of course, let's be in prayer for Thomas, be in prayer for Mackenzie Wise, and be in prayer for our youth program, young people. It's getting tight as far as staff and finances, and so what I'm thinking about doing is maybe setting aside one Sunday a month just for the special offering for the youth camp. And I believe in it. I think that these are America. If God tarries and the rapture doesn't occur pretty soon, they're going to have to carry the baton of the truth of the Word of God. And that's all there is to that. So we need to be in support of the young people. Need to be in prayer for Jim Young. Need to be in prayer for Judah's brother Ronnie, and he's recovering from the stem cell and doing very well, right? Yeah. And now, are there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, Gigi. Yeah. Okay. All right. And any other prayer requests we have? Yes. Oh my goodness, absolutely. A year old. Wow. All right, we need to be in prayer for Austin. Cindy Edwards, a wonderful, wonderful lady. Her husband, Ed, went before her, before she went, but just a wonderful, wonderful lady. So, that's, all right, any other prayer requests? What? I did something wrong, I know. Well, she knows it now. She'll hear it over here. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Tonight we're going to start a brief series, and on something special that, you know, I hate to do it on Wednesday night because we haven't gotten him off the cross yet, but the Holy Spirit led me, and this is where we got to go. And so, in fact, we're going to be dealing with a little bit of that on Sunday morning about what a pastor teaches. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Throughout history, Heavenly Father, you have given man your word in the Old Testament in various ways, through prophets, priests, special people, sometimes by dreams. Heavenly Father, in the church age, we have the written word, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit to lead teachers of the word, if they will we rely on the Holy Spirit to tell them what to teach and what to teach under that subject. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in this study of how we're to live in an anti-Christian society. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in our study of Daniel, you recall that Daniel deals a great deal with prophecy, but Daniel was not in the Jewish Bible in the prophetic section. It was in the wisdom. It is placed in the wisdom section. And we spent some time on that in our study of Daniel, bringing it up off and on. And the reason that it was in the wisdom section was Daniel did a great deal on how the Jews are to live in an anti-Jewish Gentile society, because that is the way that they were going to have to live from his time on and throughout what he didn't know about, but the church age and the tribulation. They're going to have to live in a society ran by Gentiles, the age of the Gentiles, time of the Gentiles, and mostly anti-Jewish. How are they to live? And I'm not talking about the modern Orthodox Jew. I'm talking about a Jew who does believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, with that in mind, we're now going to take a look how Christians are supposed to live in a modern America in an anti-Christian society. It's because it's very important how we're supposed to live. And I plan on just going through this. And in fact, the special will carry a little bit, those of you that were here last week, you know, a little bit redundant, but I wanted to get it all in this special. And so we're going to cover, and I've just been so thankful sitting at my desk, the places that God the Holy Spirit has taken me, and that along with the study of Sunday morning, the parable of the talents. That is probably one of the most well-known parables of Jesus Christ, the parable of the talents. It is probably the most or the least understood parables in all the Bible. And so we're going to have to spend some time on straightening it out. I first of all thought I'd just go through the whole parable like we did last week. We covered a great deal in the parable of the ten virgins in one class, and it worked out okay. We got through right at noon, and I thought we'd do the same thing with the parable of the talents, but I got involved in it, and there's no way that we're going to do that. We're going to have to find out what it really is talking about and why. And it is powerful what the parable of the talents is about. But, so we're looking at a society that I certainly didn't know 50 years ago. And it never occurred to me that we shouldn't be having the Christmas plays and the, pardon expression, Easter celebrations in school and all of that. And I got some of my best witnessing done in those two time frames because I had a loud voice, big mouth. I was in all the plays in elementary, and I'd have kids say, what is this thing about? What's Christ about? What's his birth about? And, I mean, I didn't even have to go to them. They came to me, made witnessing very easy. But we live in a society where anything dealing with the Bible is persona non grata. I saw today where the state of Tennessee voted to have the Bible as a state book. And I don't know how long that's going to last, but they voted it anyway. So, let's take a look now. Let's begin with the concept of fear. Fear does a lot of things to Christians. And so often there is nothing we really should be in fear about. But it is strong. Now, let's take what is going on in America just in this recent time. If a Christian bakery or flower shop is asked to serve queers or Muslims, that is, to me, no place to make your stand. If you disagree, that's fine. That is just my understanding of it. Because Jesus Christ is not the issue and is not glorified either way. Having said that, I do believe the time is soon with us that Christians will be persecuted for our individual beliefs. Freedom in this country is a thing of the past. We really have no freedom of speech, not even in your own home. A man had to sell his whole NBA team because of the statement he made in his home. And it just there's no freedom of speech, and everybody's running around with a camera or a phone with a camera on it, and it's just freedom is really non-existent. And so with that going out, Christians are going to be persecuted for our individual beliefs. We're going to be the troublemakers. You don't believe that adultery is okay, you're a troublemaker. You don't believe homosexuality is okay, you're a troublemaker. You don't believe any of the morals that come from the Bible, or we are going to be the troublemakers in this society. You're causing trouble. See? Just by us believing that way. Well, and I've used the example before. You have a dark room, you turn on the light, it reveals what everyone's doing. Turn off the light. So turn off the sound teaching of the Word of God. Because if you teach the Word of God, it turns on the light of what people are not teaching, not believing. And that's just the way things are. And when I changed from believing that spirituality came by confession to by faith, and many of my pastor friends became very upset with me, many disassociated, and what was happening was, by saying that you're restored to fellowship by faith, I was showing what they were not saying. They were not saying it's by faith, it's by works. It's by something you have to do. And so that's what I mean by turning on the light. Whatever you're teaching turns on that light. And it's getting really bad for our young children in school. You don't believe this, you don't believe that, and you're just going to be the person that causes a lot of trouble. And anything that hints at being moral or pro-capitalistic or pro-Christian is going to get you into a lot of trouble in this country. Christians will become the enemy, along with Jews. But right now I'm dealing with Christians. This brief series is for Christians. And we will be known as the troublemakers. Now, here's the beauty of our God. Our God knew about this before it ever happened. Our God knew that this was going to happen throughout all history, to Jewish believers, Christian believers, whatever. And in many passages, we have this recorded. I've just picked a few. Let's start off with Isaiah 51:7. Listen to what our God says to us. Alright? Listen to me. Now, this is where courage starts. Listening to the Word of God. Listening so as to believe. It means to listen so as to believe. As a little boy, I'm like, do you hear me? Yeah, I do, but she didn't think so because I didn't do what she said. So I guess I didn't. And but the word to listen here means to listen, to understand, and to believe, and to live it. Okay? You who know righteousness, both imputed righteousness and living in righteousness. People, here again, righteousness before God is a big issue. You just don't hear that word used in public anymore, the word righteousness. I challenge you, go on the internet, listen to the introduction to the Lone Ranger in the early 50s. The early 50s. And he talks about the righteous way of life that he fought for. And so it's just something that's gone from our society. So listen to me, you who know righteousness. And people, the only place you're going to know righteousness is from the Word of God. A people in whose heart is my law. Now, without getting involved here, the law of God in this understanding is faith and love. Then he gives the exhortation. Do not fear the reproach of man. When we make our stand, and the wisdom comes in making the right stand, but when we make our stand according to the Word of God, reproach is exactly what is increasing throughout the world, not just in America. This word means to be scorned, taunting, bullying, such that our children are receiving, and by society itself. That is the reproach The reproach of our society is if you are a Christian at all, if you believe in freedom at all, if you believe in capitalism at all, if you believe in the Constitution at all, if you believe in the right to bear arms at all, you're going to be the recipient of reproach. It's not favorable. And one of the fearful things is that this has been going on for quite some time. It's been going on, at least definitely in planning, since the time of Wilson as our president. It has been going on, for the formation of things, the Agenda 21, and on and on and on, all the Federal Reserve System. All these things are no accident, people. Satan's been putting all this together. He's been working at it behind the scenes all the way through since the time of Wilson. And he slowly worked it out, removed the Bible from the judicial system. Therefore, people, they can say anything they want now. They have no absolute standards. They cannot say anything against homosexuality, immorality, or anything else. They don't have the Bible anymore. Then he strategically removed the Bible from the educational system. Now they can teach evolution, and nothing anyone can do about it. And there's what I want us to understand, people. What I'm going to be dealing with in this series, there's nothing we can do about it. It's going on. This has been going on strategically since the time of Wilson, probably before, but definitely before because of the time of Darwin. But it's been going on, and it has been building and building and building in this society, and there's not a thing we can do about it. It's going to become more and more anti-Christian, more and more anti-Christian values. And I'm talking about simple values, people. I'm not talking about major values. I'm talking about simple ones. Adultery, morality, these kinds of things. Bringing up a child in the way that we should, spanking them. These things are all persona non grata in society. Let the children do whatever they want. Do away with failing. There'll be no failing in school. Going to pass everybody. Do away with tests. We're going to get by without the test and pretty soon for high school. It's just amazing what is happening. Not a thing we can do about it. It's going to happen. So what I want to deal with is, what are we to do in the midst of all of these things until Jesus Christ comes? Do not fear the reproach of man. Now, do not question your biblical stand is what the do not fear the reproach means. Do not question your biblical stand as though you may be wrong. Don't let them do that to you. Well, you know, the majority of people across America, forget the world right now, across America believe, maybe my preacher's wrong. Maybe I've been brought up wrong. Maybe the Bible isn't to be understood that way. On and on and on. And don't let it do that to you. Do not fear the reproach of man, and that means do not be caused to back off of what you believe from the Word of God. Then it says, nor be dismayed at their revelings. At their revelings, this, you know what that means? I had to look it up in the Hebrew. Find out what it means, okay? Many Christians are suffering from this even now. It means to insult you, to scorn you, and scorn what you believe. The early problem with this is that at first, without thinking it through, in attacking you, they are attacking the Bible. They're attacking God. They're attacking Jesus Christ, and that hurts. It's not just so much me. What they're doing to this book, and that hurts. Do not allow it to hurt you, people. Your God is big enough; He can handle it. He's handled it throughout history. He can handle it today. Don't worry about God. Just be calm. Let Him worry about us. Don't us worry about Him. He's going to be able to handle all these problems. Now, Christian, what does the word mean? It did not come about as a compliment. Well, today we wear it like a compliment. You're a Christian. Well, thank you. I'm glad you recognize that. See? But it isn't the way it all started off. You're a Christian. It first of all was used in Antioch and was meant as a ridicule. It meant to intimidate people. It means you're just a little Christ. That's what Christian means, just a little Christ. You don't think for yourself. You don't act for yourself. You do whatever this Jesus tells you to do. You go wherever he tells you to go, whatever he tells you to be. So he's just a little Christ. You don't think for yourself. And people, that offends a lot of people. They get to thinking about that. They get to thinking at night and driving around at work. Wait a minute, I'm myself. I have the ability to think for myself. What am I doing? It's meant to, as a derogatory term. It's amazing how many people today don't mind being called a follower of some man rather than just being called a Christian. Okay, the next passage I want to look at is Proverbs 29:25. And it's also in your pamphlet. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted by the Lord, not by man. And let me just go through a couple of things. I didn't really comment on it, but the fear of man brings a snare. You know what a snare is? It's something that causes you to get caught, trapped. So you're walking along and there's a snare and you got to go around it. You got to be careful of it. And so what happens is if we fear what man's going to say about us, it becomes a snare to our Christian life, to walking in the power of the Spirit. So we're just to be trusting, just trust in the Lord. Let him worry about any of the problems. And then one that I love, Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6. Ezekiel 2:6. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Now, it's addressed to Ezekiel, the son of man, but an application addressed to all the believing Jews and to all Christians in the Word of God. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Through thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. I love that imagery. You can just imagine, that's not going to be very comfortable. Neither fear their words, nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. One of the most untrue sayings that I imagine all of you have heard when you were a child, and we had them as children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. People, that's a lie. It will hurt. And what the tongue can do can hurt very much as a child and as we get older. It hurts to be attacked verbally by people. So this is how they bully. I know of a particular case today. There's a man, born again believer, goes to church. His brother, and they're very close, is a transgressor, but has gotten worse and worse on it. And so they got into a fight, verbal. And he just said, look, we do not agree on this. Let's let it go. Let's let it go. But he would not let it go. And I'm going to come to a verse about being peaceful. But he wouldn't let it go. Wouldn't just let it drop. Had to push it. And finally the man said, listen, I have a 12-year-old daughter. I don't want some transvestite man in that restroom with her. I don't want that. She does not deserve that. And boy, he blew it. You're just a Christian bigot and just started attacking him all over the place. People, that hurts. Even though he knows he's right, that hurts to be attacked this way. So this is the way that our society is going. And the more and more that these things are allowed, the more and more it's going to be an attack on Christian standards. People, know your God. He knows when words are lashed out against Christians for their Christian stand, and he encourages us to not be in fear of their words. Do not be dismayed at your standing on principles from the Word of God. He uses it twice. Look back up at the top of the page. Do not fear their words, neither fear their words. Twice in one verse. That's pretty strong. That's pretty observant by our God. and the message should sink into your soul. Do not fear their words. So he gives it to us twice in this one verse. Now, why does he repeat this exhortation? Why does he do that? Because, people, God knows our souls. Whether you admit it or not, it hurts when harsh, untrue words are cast against you, especially by somebody you love, especially by some family member. Who cares? Who cares what a politician says? Who cares what some stranger says? That ain't going to bother me. But boy, when somebody in your family, somebody close to you at work, somebody close to you in your social life, and they let you have it for your Christian stand, that hurts. That hurts. That goes into the soul. So this is why God mentioned it twice. The words like, you bigot. And then they add to it, you Christian bigot. Trying to use name calling to get you to back off your sound way of thinking and living. I can just get you to back off a little bit and admit that everything that I'm doing is okay and is right. That's why they use name calling. Not only are we not to fear them or their words, but God says do not even be dismayed at their presence or their words. Do not allow them to get into your soul, get you out of the peace of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Think. Stay thinking in regard to the Holy Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is peace. And that means inner peace, not peace in the world. That means inner peace. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of us supernaturally. Supernaturally. See, when everything's going okay, I don't know if the peace is from the Holy Spirit or just because everything's going okay. But when everything is not going okay, and yet I experience that peace, then I know this is supernatural. This is from the Holy Spirit. Because the old Herman would get bent out of shape. But if I stay in the faith of the Spirit and that peace continues from the Holy Spirit, I know it's supernatural in that respect. On the encouragement side, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, which we repeated, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Then fear man, fear others, fear those who speak out against you. That's what they want you to do. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted by God, not by man, but by God. Psalm 118, verse 6. People, the first words should comfort you. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. If you understand that, it's like the 23rd Psalm. The first thing is, the Lord is my shepherd. If you mean that, the rest of the psalm is beautiful. But too often, we don't think of him as our shepherd. And this says, the Lord is for me. And people, if you're standing on principles of his word, you're walking in the power of the Spirit, he's for you. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, I put in here, well, he can hurt you physically, beat you up. He can take away your house. He can have you placed in prison, as in the book of Hebrews and in the church of Smyrna. He can even take your life. But people, what is that? You'll be face to face with the Lord. Thank you very much. I wanted out of here anyway. See? So thank you. I'm with the Lord now. The worst thing you thought you could do to me is the best thing you could have done to me. Now, for a verse that puts all this together, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. It's in your handout. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Okay, that is as a Christian. Okay, one of the most remarkable things in history of the church age is the protection Christians and Jews have experienced in America. It's just, people, even if you took history in school, college, they didn't teach it with a divine perspective. But if you look at history, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is a remarkable piece of document in the annals of history. It just is unbelievable. In fact, I say here, a study of secular history reveals that for the last 2,000 years, those nations, societies that have favored Jews and Christianity have prospered, while those anti-Semitic and anti-Christianity have soon fallen. Christians and Jews, since the formation of this great nation, have enjoyed a protective environment. And people, that's what I grew up in. I didn't have to worry about any kind of bullying because I was a Christian. I didn't have to ever worry about carrying my Bible in elementary, junior high, or high school. I could carry it down the hall, carry it in the lunchroom, carry it anywhere I wanted. Never had to be concerned about anything. Never had to be concerned about my stance on moral issues. Never was bullied about it, kidded about it, or anything. All that's over. All that's over. Not even allowed to have the Bible in many schools, so much less carry it around and be seen reading it. And as America becomes more hostile to Christianity, America seeing Christianity as the enemy to its immorality, to its perversion, and more anti-Semitic, with election twice of a pro-Muslim, anti-Jewish state, anti-Christian president, it's no surprise that both Christians and Jews are beginning to suffer in America for just simply living according to the Bible. Suffer first by name-calling. That's the only where it starts. And then by law. And that's where we're moving. The law is now moving into it. And I told you a long time ago, it isn't going to be the communist tanks that's going to take over America. It's going to be the judicial system that's going to destroy this country. And it's doing it. The judicial system peacefully dismantling this country, its morals, its stand, its understanding of the first two amendments to our Constitution. And so it is no surprise that both Christianity and Judaism are beginning to suffer in America for simply living according to the Bible. And please do not show your ignorance of world history, of what's been going on around the world in regards to anti-Semitism, anti-Christianity, and the sufferings of both Jews and Christians. People, do not think that the world is like America and the way America's been. It's not. Jews and Christians have been suffering for 100 years, drastically. In fact, Dr. Kevin Clarkson wrote, quote, "There are more martyrs," that means someone who dies for Christ, "in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined." He goes on to say, "Christians in America have lived so comfortably with the First Amendment guarantee of religious liberty, which is unique in the annals of human history." And people, it is. Study the various governments of countries in church, in just world history. It's unique. It's totally unique. We were told it would not work, but it's worked for 200 years. When we moved from a republic, started becoming a democracy, democracy cannot survive. Democracy is designed to collapse. A republic is designed to stand firm. A democracy will collapse by definition. And that's why Benjamin Franklin, when he walked out of the hall, the crowd asked him, "What do we have? What do we have?" And Benjamin Franklin said, "You have a republic. You have a republic if you can keep it." And we didn't keep it. We turned it over to a democracy. And people, these things are just moving in history. And you and I have the distinct privilege of living at this time of anti-Christianity. And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse in the legal system. It's going to get a lot worse. America's catching up with history in its being against the Christian, with its moral standards, and with the proclamation of a gospel that guarantees eternal life to those who believe in Jesus Christ and eternal damnation to those who not. People, preachers are changing their gospel. preachers are changing now. Well, I used to believe that there was a heaven and a hell and all that. I don't believe that anymore. Everybody's going to heaven. So, am I to understand you were wrong in your understanding of the Bible? Yes, I was wrong. Now I see it clearly. Well, let me ask you something. Can you show me that in the Bible? Can you show me where there is no heaven and hell? Can you show me? People, when I teach something up here, if I can't show you in the Bible, question it. Don't reject it, but just question it. It's got to be in the Bible if it's going to be sound teaching. And so Christians are commanded to love their enemies as well as to love one another. It will be God, not man, not Christians, who will physically deliver the non-believers to the lake of fire. It will not be. They're going to go there, but it's going to be God. We are to love them. We're to give them the gospel. Now, the Muslims do not teach that. If you don't believe in Allah, we're going to kill you. In fact, we're going to kill our own if they don't live the way we think they should, according to our Quran. It's in their Quran. They are to kill one another. We're not only not to kill one another, we're to love one another, and we're to love our enemies. That's the stand that the Christian is to take. But America has enjoyed great freedom, and because of this, they have prospered economically, far surpassing any Muslim nation in history. But we have been moving for several decades to the point where we have a president who sets policies against America and pro-Muslim rule in the world. And he now wants to make the communistic country of Cuba a wonderful place to go. People, these things, don't let it disturb you. They all have to go together. It happens. You throw out the Bible and thinking it's weird. And weirder and more weird. Okay. All right. So people learn from these passages, live in the Word of God, go to a church where the Word of God is taught verse by verse to you, get your children into the Word of God. People, this is so vital. Our children need to be in the Word of God. One of the most wonderful things that Philip told me about the slam camp 2 weeks ago, he said it was unbelievable watching for 2.5 hours 16, 17-year-olds going in the Bible, looking up things because they wanted to, and understanding this and taking that and comparing this and comparing that, and learn how powerful this book is. It's unbelievable. This is the most exciting book on earth, people. It is unbelievable. My wife comes in complaining about this and that, and I say, well, I'm sorry. I'm having a wonderful time. I love what I'm doing. I love doing it. I know you're back there all the time. See? But I love it. And I'm sorry. It's just is absolutely wonderful. And it's so intriguing to study. You can study the same passage over and over and come up to, I ought to do Galatians over again. No, I won't. But there's just so much to know and see in the Word of God. So people, we need to learn from these passages. Get your children into a church where the Word of God is taught. And I don't mean this in a horrible way, but quit lingering and focusing all of your time on studying the Constitution. That's a document written by man. Get into the Bible. It's a document written by God. Get them into the Bible. Get them into understanding. John Adams has well stated that, I even got it here. That's good. It's right here. And so let's take a look at what John Adams had to say. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious Christian people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other." People, it's not designed. It is not designed to handle a society that not only condones but encourages transvestites, all these things that are going on in our society. Our Constitution isn't designed to handle those kind of things. The pursuit of happiness doesn't mean happiness is a queer when they wrote it. But that's what it's come to mean. It's inadequate to handle today. That's all there is to it. And by the way, he did not make the statement in a church. He did not make it to a fundamentally a Christian group. He made the proclamation to the officers of the 1st Brigade of the 3rd Division of Militia of Massachusetts, October the 11th, 1798. That's when and where he made it. So, Christian, garrison your souls in the Word of God. Care not what man thinks, but live your life and raise your children in the truths of the Word of God. And that's what I'm going to be covering. How do we do that? I know we're studying the burial of Jesus Christ on Wednesday night, but due to what's going on in America and realizing the things that Christians are suffering and going to suffer, I want to give you some sound advice from the Word of God. What are we supposed to do when bullied, verbally attacked by others, even by other Christians? And oh, people, do not be shocked or dismayed when you are attacked by other Christians. That example I gave you, both brothers are Christians. One brother is attacking another brother because of his Christian beliefs. So do not be dismayed or alarmed when you're attacked by other Christians. I want to remind you what we studied just recently in Matthew 24:10, in talking to the Jews during the tribulation. At that time, context, 7 years of tribulation, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. That's a Jew against a Jew in the tribulation. They will hate and betray one another. Both times, one another is used. It's the same Greek word, allos. And that means one another of the same kind. That is, another Jew betraying a Jew and a Jew hating a Jew. That's what the word means. It doesn't mean Gentile. It doesn't mean an unbeliever. It means a Jew will hate Jews and a Jew will betray Jews. And we can apply that to the church, to the Christians in the church age. Christians are going to hate Christians. You go to church. You make your stand on the Word of God. You're going to be bullied. Now, bullying is going to last for a while. But the courts are going to get involved in it, to where we're not even allowed to say it. Our children will not be allowed to speak it in school. Not allowed to even speak the truth in school. Courts are going to move into this. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? That's what we're going to cover in this brief study. Make no mistake about this. As things continue to get more and more tense in the world we live, here is the United States of America. Christians are going to hate other Christians. Christians are going to betray other Christians. Also, in Matthew 24:12, we're told, love grows cold. What do you think about that? This is tough, but I want you to be prepared that people that love you, their love's going to grow cold as this thing intensifies. If you continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you continue to take your stand in the truth of the Word of God, and I don't mean being pushy, we're going to cover that, how we're supposed to live. I don't mean trying to push it off, just because that's what you believe in your own home. You're going to become bullied, ridiculed, called names, and their love is going to grow cold. It's that simple. Family members, friends, children, parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, so on. It's going to get that way, people. It's that way in a lot of places around the world, and that's why I said, please don't show your ignorance of what's going on around the world. Christians are being killed. Jews are being killed around the world in vast numbers. Now, whose love will grow cold? Those closest to you. This is why it hurts so much. It's why it hurts so deeply. If it was someone we hardly knew, someone spying on us, we might be angry, but we wouldn't be hurt. Wouldn't be dismayed. We might want to punch them in the nose. But that's not going to hurt us. But when we're attacked, bullied, called names related to our Lord, to Jesus Christ, this hurts. and we are tended to become dismayed, and our God knows that we're tended to become dismayed and is going to do something about it. So, what are we to do? Okay, we know we're not to attack. We know we're not to reverse to name-calling of them. We're not to bully. Neither are our children. What are we supposed to do when we are the ones attacked in society? What does the Word of God tell us to do? Now, I want to highlight three guiding principles, then work our way through this great chapter of the Bible on living the Christian life in difficult times. The first guiding principle, Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let all that is going on now in America overcome you. Well, I'm upset with everybody. I don't like anybody. I just dare anybody say anything to me. In fact, I just dare you to be happy around me. I'll punch you out. No, it's not what we do. Don't let all that's going on in America overcome you. The problem here is how. How do you do both these things? Not overcome with evil, overcome evil with good. How am I supposed to do that? How do you overcome evil? How do you not return evil for evil? We're going to study that. Second guiding principle, Romans 12, never take your own revenge. And people, that's what good old Americans like to do. We want revenge. You call me something, I'm going to call you something. You say something about my mother, I'll say something about your mother. Well, your mother wears army boots. And all this kind of stuff that we did as kids. See? It's what we want to do. We don't want to let anybody get the upper hand on us. Don't seek revenge. Put that out of your mind right from the very beginning. Do not seek your own revenge. And then the third guiding principle. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all. Okay. Sometimes they'll not let it lie. They push. And they keep on pushing. You want to just walk away, let it go, but they won't let you. Now, these are three exhortations, three guides for the Christian in today's world. But let's read through this great chapter of the Bible, not really studying it, just reading through and noting a few things. But by way of just reiterating the three guiding principles in our study tonight, Be overcome by evil. What is evil? Evil is that which is anti-God, anti-Christ. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Never take your own revenge. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Okay? Now, Romans 12:1. It's on your sheet. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And I hope you can see right off what Satan is doing in America today. He is attacking the Christian body. He is attacking the human body. This whole thing, homosexuality, lesbianism, transsexualism, whatever it is going on, all these things that's going on in our society today, people, it's about our body. It's about the body. He wants to attack the human body. He has been attacking the human body in America through promiscuity, adultery, alcohol, drugs, and so on. But today, he is doing full force through perversion of the divine design of the human body. A total perversion of the human body. And Romans 12:1 starts off with warning us. The attack is against your body. And we got to let our young children know this. Their body's in the conflict. Satan wants to destroy the body. And this is what this verse is talking about. Present your bodies And Satan is going to do everything he can to cause you to pervert the use of your bodies. To understand what is what the world is going on in the world, especially in America, let's look at Romans chapter 1. All right, James, put that in for us. By the way, those parentheses, I appreciate James doing this. He, you know, I know I put it up on him on Sunday morning. And I just said the other day, I said, well, I'm working on something special on Wednesday night. Are you up to taking a look at it? Oh, yeah, send it to me. I love doing it. I said, well, it ain't going to be just one Wednesday. And it may be 2, 3, 12, 20, 4. No, I didn't say that. But he said, send it to me. And I'm most appreciative that we have this to give out to people in our lives. Romans 1:24. Therefore, now, what's happening? What is happening in America? What is happening in the world? How can I understand? How can there be so much perversion? How can so many men love a man's body, women love a woman's body, and men wanting to be women, women wanting to be... What is going on? How's all this happening? Look what it says. God gave them over. That's what happened. God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies, note the body, people haven't gotten to the soul yet, note their bodies would be dishonored among them. And this is exactly what's going on in America. For they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What are we doing today? We worship the earth. Earth Day, green, all this type of thing. It's just amazing. Verse 26. For this reason, know what it says, God gave them over. Repetition. So that you and I will know what is happening. People, if you've ever wondered how bad the inherited sin nature is, take a look at America. Take a look at the world. Just take a look at it. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the desires and lust of the inherited sin nature of the body. And as the Christianity, those walking in the power of the Spirit, gets smaller and smaller, as the pivot gets smaller and smaller, all this other is going to get more and more wild. It's going to get darker and darker and darker. And that's what this means. For this reason, God gave them over. Now look what he gave them over to here. To degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, which is opposed to nature. Their bodies were designed for males, not for females. But that's what's going to happen when God turns them over to the lust. And people, let me just give you a warning. Don't ever sit back and say, well, that would never be me. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have garrisons in your soul to protect your bodies. Just remember that. So this is not something that just happens to them. This could happen to anyone, believers, when they walk away from the Word of God and do not walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 26, or verse 27, and in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Homosexuality. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. It's really interesting, people. The homosexual community, for a long time, just wanted tolerance. If there's any group that is totally intolerant today, it's the homosexual community. They are totally intolerant of anyone who doesn't agree with them and doesn't think that they should be doing what they're doing. They are intolerant. For a while, they just wanted to be tolerated. Now they're not happy with that. They want to be accepted, and they have intolerance for anyone who disagrees with them. This is going on, and it's going to get worse and worse for your children. Most of us in this room don't have a whole lot to worry about all of this, but people with children have a lot to worry about and deal with. A lot. Verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. Third time! God gave them over. Over and over. That is what God does when people turn against Him. To a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper. By proper means according to His design. This is why Satan had to get the Bible out of schools. The Bible tells you what's proper and improper. Take the Bible out and everything's proper. Nothing is improper. And that's what they're teaching our children. There's nothing improper. How dare you be against homosexuality, lesbianism, all this kind of stuff? How dare you? It's all okay. We all ought to do it. Verse 30, or verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. There's that word again. People, that's the great issue, righteousness. With all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, there are gossips. If you ever watch ID, that's the list right there. That'll cover you through ID TV program. Alright, verse 30. Slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, without understanding of what? Of truth. People, very few pastors are teaching the truth. I'm sorry. They're just not. Untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. This is where America is today. Verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, make no doubt about it, they know it. This is why they want everyone to say they're right. This is why they have to have society. They have to have the judicial system, society, the church, everyone say it's fine to be a pervert. It's fine to be a queer. They got to have it in their heart, in their soul. Let me tell you something. They know better. That's why they keep fighting. The more people they can get to say they're right, the more churches they can get to say they're right, the more preachers they can get to say they're right, the more laws they can get passed, and just see, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You're not okay, and you know it. Verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, makes no doubt about it, they know it, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them, the judicial system in America. So people, this is where we're looking at. And we're going to start off here in Romans 12 with the body. That is Satan's obvious attack in society today, attacking the body. He's already done it through adultery. He's already done it through promiscuity. He's already done it through fornication. He's already done it through drugs. He's already done it through alcohol. Now he's going to do it through perversion. He's going to move to perverting the human body. And Christians got to learn to take their stand. People, it doesn't matter of us telling somebody else they shouldn't. That's not what we're here for. It's not our job to tell people they should not be homosexuals. It's not our job to judge them. That's up to them. Our job is to present Christ and Him crucified. But as for me and my house, we have made up our mind we will serve the Lord. But if other people don't want to, that's fine. That's their business. But I'm here to present Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. And you better make up your mind about Him, because that deals with eternity. Okay, we'll close in a word of prayer and begin here next week. Absolutely, absolutely. Boy, that's a big thing, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Let's be in prayer for Jim Langston having an MRI tomorrow. Okay, let's close now in a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we praise you. We praise you, we praise you, and we thank you. You're pretty smart. You knew this was going to be happening in America. And you gave us all these wonderful passages to garrison our soul, stabilize our lives, our thinking, where we go to church, whom we marry, where we decide to fellowship with, whom we decide to social with. So many things, Heavenly Father, and your word just gives us such wonderful guidance. And Father, we just praise you for it. Now, Father, this is the easy part, learning it, but it's not easy to live it. How thankful we are for your Spirit, who gives us the power, the wisdom, to live what we know we should live in our souls from your word. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen tonight, let it garrison in our souls, and then guide us in our life. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.